I know what you're asking yourself now. And if you're not asking yourself this, you should be. But I know you are, because you're an astute audience, you've been paying attention, and you anticipate the next move. Even the next move of the Lampkin. What is this opening of this scroll going to accomplish? Now, I'm going to remind you of the song of the elders and the animals, because remember, these beings are filled with the sound of music, and they sing these hymns of praise to God, and what they say, and we're going to quote them, because we have a man that went there, and he brought back the words of the elders and the animals, and we're going to quote them, and from this, we're going to get a clue. More than a clue, we're going to find out what the opening of this scroll is going to accomplish. So I read these to you before, but now that we're actually talking about the details of the scroll, we are going to go back and hear what the cherubim and the elders had to say in their delicious songs. In chapter 4, verse 11. We read of the elders who are casting, remember they cast their wreaths at the sight of the throne to God, and they say this: "Worthy art thou, O Lord and God, to get glory and honor and power." That's the first little clue here. "For the universe thou dost create, and because of thy will it is created and was." I don't know why these elders are speaking in 17th century English, the thou and thy, but you know, that's their prerogative, and they might have had an English accent. "Worthy art thou, O Lord, O God, to get might and power," whatever. You know, if there was a movie was made of this, no doubt they would get English actors, because no matter what the English say, why is this? Am I the only person who notices this? They instantly have a gravitas. They instantly have a, you just know that what they say is true and it's important. It's because they talk like this, and it has more weight and it's more meaningful than anything we could possibly say in our lame ordinary accents, which I don't even consider myself to have an accent. And yet some people say I have an accent. How did I get off on this? This is no good. "Worthy art thou, O Lord, O God, to get glory and honor and power, for the universe thou dost create." Okay, he's going to get glory, honor, and power that he doesn't have now. This is all about the transfer. The transfer of this scroll is the beginning of him getting glory and honor and power. Now, we're going to go to another song that these critters... Did I just call the four animals critters? I apologize. I didn't mean that. Fortunately, I'm protected. I can say things like that and get away with it because I'm a member of the body of Christ and I'm shielded and God likes me and nothing can now condemn me. Nothing can now condemn me. Got it? Got it? Okay, good. Look, I have respect for these beings. It doesn't seem like it, but I really do. Okay, now we're going to go back in time again to Revelation 5, 9. Actually, it's not back in time. It's in the same chapter we're on, but I'm getting ahead of it here. Listen, this is the new song of the animals and the elders. That was the old song. They were talking about the earth was created. Remember, I contrasted this with Stephen Hawking, and we're looking at that the whole purpose of creation is for him, for God to get glory and honor and power. That's why the universe was created. Now, the animals and elders say this: "Worthy art thou to be taking the scroll and to open its seals, for thou wast slain and dost buy us for God by thy blood." Remember, we talked about that. He's buying the entire universe by his blood. He bought the field to get the treasure, just like the parable of Jesus. He has a treasure in the field, and to get the treasure, he overpays, and he buys the whole field just to get the treasure. So the Lord bought the whole universe. He bought it. Now it's his. He can do with it what he wants. So what he wants to do is redeem it. He's buying it. He's going to deliver it. That's what he's going to do. There's a difference between redeem and deliver. I'm going to tell you that probably this week. We're redeemed, folks. You and I, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, but we've not yet been delivered. Okay, and so this is the next point we're going to take up. Redemption is a purchase, is a buying, and God bought the entire universe, okay, and he bought us, but none of it's been delivered yet. It's been signed, it's been sealed, but it hasn't been delivered yet. With the deliverance of this scroll into the hands of the Lampkin, it is the beginning of the deliverance not only of us, but of the universe, and it is the beginning of God getting power and glory that he does not now have. So now we're going to enter into another theme here in chapter 5 concerning the scroll, and it could be put in one phrase. And here's the phrase. And interesting, Paul uses this phrase in Ephesians 1:14. But this is the concept now of the transference of this scroll and the opening of it. The deliverance of that which has been procured. Remember that phrase. The deliverance of that which has been procured. Jesus Christ's might and power was procured. All authority has been given to me. He said to his disciples in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me. But he has not exercised his authority. All power has been given to him. He has not exercised his power. Paul says in Ephesians 2, we are seated among the celestials. Really? I look out the window. I don't see it. But that which has been procured is about to be delivered. So there's a difference between procurement and deliverance. There's a difference between redemption and deliverance. So here's the verse in Ephesians 1:14. Remember this verse. Let's start with verse 13. I'm in Ephesians chapter 1. In whom you also, on hearing the word of truth, the evangel of your salvation, in whom, on believing also, you are sealed with... Look at that. The word is right there. Isn't this interesting? You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of what? The Holy Spirit of promise. So we're promised something here that we don't yet have. And the whole creation is promised something that they don't yet have. That's why this rallying cry, that's why these elders race to the throne and the animals are all excited and they yip and yap and up and they, they sing and they laud. Yes, they sing and laud because they're excited because something that has been procured and an authority that's been had is now about to be exercised, and that which has been procured is about to be delivered, and the process has begun, and the evil powers are doomed, and the good powers are coming on the scene. It's just like a movie. I keep comparing this to a movie, but it is. There's that crisis point, the pivot point in a movie, the fulcrum, if you will, where the balance of power shifts. Every movie gets you, you get to the end of scene two, part two, I should say, and at that point, the enemy has taken hold, and the enemy seems to be at the pinnacle, and there looks to be no hope for your protagonist, and all the people that you love are doomed. And then the balance of power shifts. Something happens, and now we begin to see a resolution, and the power shift happens here in the unveiling in chapter 5 with the transference of this scroll to the Lamb. So listen to this. In whom, on believing also, you are sealed. You see, I told you, and I'm doing it. I'm delivering. I'm always going to be showing you our evangel. Never going to forget what we have. And I see a comparison here. We were promised things that we have not yet been given. It's an earnest of the enjoyment of our allotment. We have just an earnest of the enjoyment of our allotment. It ain't much. I would go to the complaint department, and I have. I've gone to the complaint department many times in prayer to God. We're supposed to pray with thanksgiving. I don't always do that. I pray with complaint. Sometimes I'm not supposed to murmur and I'm not supposed to complain. I know that. You don't have to quote me the verse. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't always do it. And so I complain to God that it's such a tiny bit. It's called the earnest of the enjoyment of our allotment. It's like our allotment, I know what it is, seated at the right hand of God, that's our allotment. We have the earnest of an enjoyment of it. The earnest is a very small portion, the beginning, the very beginning of it. It's so tiny that it hardly gets you through. It's like a little pin prick of energy that barely gets you through. But what is it toward? To the deliverance of that which has been procured for the laud of his glory. That's Ephesians 1:14. Look at that. I'm drawing an analogy here. Revelation 5 and Ephesians 1:14. The deliverance of that which has been procured. And that's exactly what's happening with the transference. And again, we got clues from the songs of the elders. The universe was created for you, for your power and glory. And the song that you have bought us. You have bought us, say the elders, and you are going to deliver us. Now, I told you that this was a scroll and not a book. That's important because scrolls are sometimes legal documents. Now, the King James Version doesn't call it a book. If you're following this series and you're looking at the KJV in Revelation 5, you're going, Martin, it says it's a book. Why is it a scroll? Concordant says scroll. That's concordant literal version's translation of biblion, the Greek word biblion. They call it a scroll. And we get why a scroll and not a book. Well, we have a certain stereotype of a book, something you read. And ironically enough, this scroll, the seven-sealed scroll, is never read. Did you know that? We don't know what it says even after 22 chapters of the book of Revelation. Interesting, huh? We only know its effects. Going to get to that. But in Revelation 6:14, under the sixth seal, heaven recoils as a scroll rolling itself up, quote, unquote. Heaven recoils as a scroll rolling itself up. Now, notice the King James translators, what do I want to call those guys? I want to be a little respectful because there may be some of their descendants listening, you know, I don't want to, but they were sloppy because they translated the word biblion, book, everywhere except here. Why? Because they saw a scroll rolled itself up. That's the context in Revelation 6:14. So they saw the word roll. We can't roll a book. You can't roll a book. What are we going to do? I guess we have to translate it. What it really is, it's a scroll. That's what it is. And a scroll can be, this is the interesting part, a scroll can be something very small or something large. For instance, in Matthew 19, verse 7, our Lord speaks of a writing of divorcement. That's the King James Version, writing. Guess what that word is? Yeah, it's biblion. So here is a third way they translated it. They translated it book most of the time. They translated it scroll when they had to because it was rolled. And here they translated it a writing of divorcement. But it's all the same. It's a scroll of divorcement. So here it's a legal document and probably very short, so it doesn't have to be long. And this happens again in Mark 10:14. A bill of divorcement. There's the fourth different way they translate it. I kid you not. In Mark 10:4, they translated biblion, bill. In Mark 19:7, they translated it writing. In Revelation 6:14, they translated it scroll, and at the beginning of Revelation chapter 5, they translated it book. So these guys, somebody put something into their tea. They were Englishmen, and they were sitting at the table taking their refreshment. And I think that what happened to them happened to John Lennon and George Harrison. Somebody slipped a little LSD into their tea right before translating, and they saw visions, all right. They saw visions. They saw visions of several different words for one single Greek word. And so they confused us all. Good for them. The scroll could be, it all depends. It could be as long as Isaiah, because in Luke 4, verse 17, Jesus, our Lord, opens up the scroll of Isaiah. So here the scroll is an entire book, quote unquote, of the Bible. And the earlier references, it could be something as small as a legal document, a writ or a scroll of divorcement. This is important because this scroll doesn't need to be anything more than a legal document. And that's what this is. This is a legal document that is about to put in execution a decree from the courts of God. And to me, that's exciting. It's not a book as we would understand it being read. I'm going to sit here and read a book. This is a legal document, a decision reached by a magistrate that is handed over to the bailiff. Or should I say, the bailiff hands it to the judge, and it's read. And it contains a procedure. It contains a legal decision. And boy, is this ever a decision. It's the decision that finally we are going to procure. We are going to deliver that which has been procured. And we are going to take assumption, God and Christ, of a glory that is inherently ours. These evil eons have gone on far too long. The humiliation is finally going to be over. And the glory and the power of God in Christ that is rightly theirs is going to be manifested upon this earth.